Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Let's go, baby! Yes, sir. Back in the house, Teron Davenport. You are now talking with TD. We got Calvin Smith working the switches, hitting the switches on them. And it's just another week, another win for the Titans. So, you know, there's going to be a lot to talk about. This is a team that has put themselves back into the playoff hunt. And frankly, they are now in the hunt for the AFC South division. You know what we do? We're not from Portland, but we are Trailblazers. So what's that mean? We're going to break it on down. We got Ty Smith and Dane Cruikshank giving you two different perspectives, two different angles of the block field goal that resulted in the go-ahead touchdown. Also, we're going to have Kamale Correa dropping some gems from his play. And, folks, his sack actually led to that field goal. So we're going to bring all that to you at once. We got a Roger Saffold interview coming from the locker room after the game. This is what we do, folks. We bring it. You know what I mean? And that's our specialty. So we're going to get right into it. We're going to start off with this defense. And I tell you what, these guys are playing outstanding football. It's almost like we say that every week, isn't it? But I think this week the thing that really stood out to me was just the creativity that Dean Pease used, right? You had a team in the Colts, you know, Marcus Johnson. Tried to tell Jared about Marcus Johnson. You know, Chris Sanders and I, before the game, tried to tell him. He was like, oh, yeah, Marcus Johnson. Who is Mark? Hey, listen, the dude is talented. I'm telling you, he ended up having a solid game. But what you saw was Frank Reich devising ways to get guys open. And he ended up getting a nice matchup. You know, he had a situation where no one went with the shallow cross going from right to left. They went with the deeper cross going left to right. Jack Doyle was wide open, and it's a touchdown. He does a good job of playing with people because later on in that game, actually in the next quarter, you had that shallow cross and you had a deeper cross, both going the same direction. Rashawn Evans, like anyone I would do. I mean, I would have done the same thing. You had a touchdown on a certain route. You're going to key that route. He jumped that one. The crossover top was a big gain. So outstanding job of Frank Reich putting things together. He had Jacoby Brissett had some time back there to make some throws. But then it came time to I wish we had the lock sound because that's kind of what Dean Pease and the Titans defense did. It was time to dial up the pressure. I saw on one of the plays both safeties blitzing. That was something that was crazy. Kenny Vaccaro and Kevin Byard, they both blitzed at one time. We got to talk to Mike Vrabel. Obviously, I mean, that's something I had to ask him about because I'm just like, you know, it's not something that you see happen too often, but it allowed them to get pressure. It was one of the ways. So in addition to Mike Vrabel talking about the safeties, Dean Pease has continued to dial up the blitz from the nickel package also, Logan Ryan. So I asked Mike Vrabel about those guys. Here's what he had to say.
To the guy, it's not the blitz, it's the who. And we've always said that, identify guys that can impact the quarterback and, put some coverage behind it and mix them in. And third down looked like us today a little bit. I know we had the penalty and it could have always been better, but, you know, that was something that we thought we needed to do was stop the run and, you know, give them a lot of credit. That's a very good football team. That's a disciplined, tough, physical football team. Hit us on some scheme passes that we're going to have to take a look at.
So that was Mike Vrabel talking about the blitzes. And you notice he said it's not the scheme or the blitz, it's the who. And these guys, and Vaccaro, Byard, and Logan Ryan especially, outstanding at just timing their blitzes. I think they do an awesome job there. So definitely have to tip your cap to them. It's a way for Dean Pease to, like I said, dial up the pressure a bit. And it helped because at that point, once they started doing that, the Colts offense became a little more pedestrian. And then in addition to that, they were stopping the run. It wasn't just the secondary that was getting pressure, right? You had Harold Landry. He had his a sack. I mean, that was kind of like a sack by default, but hey, you know, it counts in the stat sheet, so that's a good thing for him. And you have to be there to be able to touch the quarterback when he's down. So there was some effort that went into that. And I tell you, more importantly, one of the key turning points was Kevin Byard's interception. And that doesn't happen. Jacoby Brissett doesn't make that ill-advised throw unless Harold Landry is rushing him, right, and getting pressure. Landry got that pressure. It led to an interception, a big play. That was the one that set up the field goal to make the score 17-17. It was a great situation for the Titans defense to really show that complimentary football, right? They say to the offense, hey, we're going to get you the ball. We need you to score. And that's the way it works back and forth. But, again, that doesn't happen unless Harold Landry has a sack. He's also gotten better in multiple facets of his game. I talked to Kevin Byard after the game about Harold Landry, and he just had a quick statement about him. Here's what he had to say.
Harold's been really coming on this year, man. He's really been making a lot of plays for us, getting sacks. It's just a blessing, man. Casey got a sack as well, so I'm just happy for the guys up front to be able to, not only that, stopping the run. I think that was big, that we knew that was like our first key from this game, was stopping the run. We didn't allow him to get any big runs today, so I think that was a really big difference today. It's kind of unnoticed.
Well, I tell you, man, you get tired just listening to Kevin Byard, right? I mean, that dude talks very fast. I hate transcribing his interviews, but he made some really good points, and that was the key for them, right? Stopping the run. The Colts are a team that are just like the Titans. They like to line it up and knock you down and run you over, and that is something that the Titans refused to allow the Colts to do, but then also they were getting pressure on the quarterback. I tell you another thing that was interesting, right, and you know, this is one of the things that stands out to me. Again, going back to the creativity that Dean Pease has been putting together, right? Jarrell Casey lined up as left defensive end. You had Casey, Austin Johnson, Daquan Jones, and Kamale Correa in an under. So you're in like a 3-4 under look, right? So you ended up having a front four like at the line of scrimmage. And this was in goal line. And it wasn't just like a standard five technique that Casey rushed the passer from. He was almost in a wide nine. Now, it's not often that you get defensive tackles that do that. Me personally, Jeffrey Simmons is a guy that I would be more inclined to do that with. But guess what? They got a sack that way. So I just, like I said, they're doing a great job of just mixing things up. They're getting that pressure. Speaking of pressure and mixing things up, Kamale Correa, I tell you, over the last three games, he's really been stepping up. I went up to him after the game on Sunday, and I said, hey, KC, man, you're balling, man. Good stuff. That was just kind of like to set the precedent for what we're doing today, and that's talking with TD. I told him I wanted to have him on, break down the sack. And when I went and watched it, especially the All-22, it definitely jumped out to me how Dean Pease was using him. And I thought it was really interesting because typically when you spy a quarterback, you're using an inside linebacker. That's typically what happens. Or you're using a safety. Not Dean Pease. He said, we're going to give you a different look. And this isn't the first time that he did that. Kamale Correa breaks down his sack, and you'll understand where I'm coming from right here. Check it out.
I've been waiting to do one of these with you.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to be able to do this, especially in this situation, 3rd and 9, right? And what goes unrecognized is this is the play that set up that block field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it.
So if you take it back to a couple weeks ago against the Chiefs, we had like a similar play where I was kind of a spy guy on Pat Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up running at him. He kind of gave me like a hesitation and go. And then he kept the ball, and that was also a 3rd down play, and they converted it. But when I triggered, I jumped in the air, I got off my feet, I was unbalanced, and I got to him late, so he got the ball off. So my main focus for me this week was to not leave my feet.
Gotcha.
And just keep running. He tried to pump fake me there at the end. So this is like a spy player because we knew that he's, like, you know, he's mobile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can move out the pocket. When we were watching here, we thought he was going to step up left, so I followed him left.
have the end zone view too.
Yeah, and here at the end, he tries to pump fake me, and I stay on my feet. You know, the coaches, they schemed a good play for us. Mm. I mean, my teammates did their jobs. Man, the DBs covered their ass off on this play. Yeah. They did.
What are you pointing at right here?
So right here, we're running like a text game right here. So I'm really supposed to just bring number 64 out with me so the nose guard can kind of work one-on-one with the center.
Okay.
And then I kind of back off like a spy player.
Yeah, and you gave him that step, and then you flow with the quarterback.
Yeah, I gave him a little steppy, and then, you know, just kind of spy from there, left to right, and then see he kind of pumps fake me, but I keep my feet. And man, it's just a big testament to the DBs right here on this play because it's man coverage. They're covering their ass off, down play, 9 yards, we're in the red zone. It's a really big series, so I give a lot of credit on this sack to all the DBs that are covering. I mean, Logan, Ty, to Orr, to, you know, the safeties, to all those guys just busting their tail off on 3rd and 9. And, man, I really give a lot of credit to God. He's been moving me in ways that I never thought I could move, and he's been putting me in a very, very fun situations. Just to take advantage of.
Is it more fun? Because I know in Baltimore, kind of had you misplaced as an inside backer. Seems to me like you're more of a natural edge guy. Is it more fun to be in that role here?
Yeah, man. Man, the past is the past. You know, I learned from the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
But here right now, man, I'm just trying to take advantage of each and every rep that I get, whether it's inside, whether it's outside. And just be grateful to be playing this game of football because, man, it can be taken from you at literally any moment in time. Like, you know, there's a lot of guys in this roster that are going down.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of leaders. So it's been not easy for us, but we believed, we trusted. And for me, I only can speak for myself, but I do believe in God. And I do believe that He moves in crazy ways.
Yeah.
So I believe that my past has brought me to my present, and I've just been blessed.
I love that. I love that.
I can't complain.
Obviously, he's a good dude, right? And it's good to see a guy with that mindset, that humbleness, that drive to be able to go out and play the way he's been playing. And, you know, he has been through a lot. You know, this is a guy that was a high draft pick for the Ravens and, you know, suffered through some ups and downs and got really, you know, that was a trade, I believe they acquired him. Yeah, a trade. My spider sense said, not released, he was traded for. But, yeah, so now he's in a place where he's reunited with Dean Pease and they're working things out. Obviously, the next game is the most important game, though, right? And when you're in a situation like the Titans, you're a team that you basically have to play a series of playoff games. That's really what it boils down to. So when you look at this week, you got the Raiders, and this is another team that is in the thick of things as far as the wild card pitcher is concerned. Man, side note, Pittsburgh Steelers, how on earth are they? I listen, you know, Houdini, was it David Blaine? Who are the other magicians? Mike Tomlin. That's how I look at it. But when you look at this week, it's a tough matchup for the Titans, even though this is a team that essentially what they have is a tight end and a running back. That's their offense. For the most part, if you watch, they scheme the heck out of finding a way to get number 83 to football. And 83 is Darren Waller, a former wide receiver, came out of Georgia Tech years ago, kind of fought his way through things. He has a story, actually, but he fought his way through some things. He actually is a big advocate, anti-marijuana, whereas before he was someone who was very marijuana-dependent. But, you know, Darren Waller has weathered the storm, and now he's playing at a Pro Bowl level. This guy has 800 yards receiving already. And if you watch, they line him up in so many different ways. You know, you see him as a true inline. As I said, he's a former receiver. He was a receiver for the Ravens. And you'll see him lined up over top of the numbers, and they just throw the fade to him. It's a tough matchup, whether it be Kevin Byard, whether it be Jayon Brown. I mean, I saw him against the Chiefs catch a fade for like 20 yards against Tre'Davious Ward. So you've even seen teams use a corner against him, a long corner, and it didn't work. Then in addition to that, they use a lot of cut splits. I thought it was interesting how they do this. They'll have him on, and a lot more teams are starting to do this, right? Because we talked about this in the Chiefs game. But you, what you see, you have trips on one side, or on the back side of that trips, they have Darren Waller at a cut split, which is like a closer split. And then he runs that post, but then you have the receivers. There's a like a what we used to call like a post stop, where you would kind of hook up like 12 yards down the field, but right over top of the center, right? And that's to draw the attention of the safety, so you got the post going over top by Darren Waller. So that's what they do there. And then with that, out of that trips, they'll have one of the other receivers run a go route just to kind of push the opposite safety back. So there's things that they could do to get Waller the ball. I've seen them go where they have him go in motion across the formation and then just hook up for a screen. I've seen them have him go in motion and just run like a speed out. They use Darren Waller in a multitude of ways. So that is something to watch out for. Then in addition to that, they work Josh Jacobs. And I tell you, I am so grateful that Josh Jacobs is having the success that he's having, because he's an example of why you don't just automatically say, I'm not taking this position, taking this guy because he plays this position. In the first round, the Raiders used a first round pick on Josh Jacobs, and goodness gracious, he has 1,000 yards already. The dude is responsible for a bulk of their offense. They use him in multiple ways. He is what you call a workhorse. I remember him here in Nashville for the draft, and got to talk to him about, you know, his journey, his pops, you know, and just he's a hungry player. And it's crazy because he plays like a guy who was once homeless. You know what I mean? A guy who knows that it could be taken from him at any time. A guy who's grateful for every opportunity he gets to line up. A guy who recognizes where he came from and is going to do everything he can not to go back to that situation. I think that's all you could ask for. You know, and then in addition to that, I remember at the combine, I said, Josh, you have such a violent style of football. It's almost like as soon as you put that helmet on, you suddenly become angry. And that dude gave the biggest smile and long-winded answer, and he runs like an angry running back. So what do you do with that type of guy? Flock to the football, rally to the football, wrap up, bring him down, because he will try to break tackles. And, oh, listen, if you have a meeting with him along the sideline, you better tackle him, because he will lower the shoulder and try to run you over. He finishes every play. So he's one of those guys, man, you got to play through the echo of the whistle. Obviously, you do that cleanly, but you get what I'm saying. So that's that with those guys. Hunter Renfrow is another one. John Gruden said that he's probably not going to, not probably, John Gruden said they're not going to have him for this game, probably not the following one also. So Adam Humphries 2.0, right? They're both Clemson guys. They're both, you know, shorter white receivers that you look at and you say, hey, he's not going to beat me. But what does he do? Go out there and proceed to beat your butt. They're really good receivers. I like both of them. I like watching both of them. Hunter Renfrow, they're both guys, and Adam Humphries, they look like a math teacher. But, I mean, end of the day, these are guys that go out and play football, and it's just a perfect example. You don't judge a book by its cover. Hunter Renfrow was at Clemson for since, I think, like 1997, but he definitely, you know, cut his teeth there. He's a very polished receiver, but guess what? He's not going to be there. Going to be a tough thing for the Raiders to move on without him. But outside of that, Derek Carr, yeah, he's an up and down. He's actually a quarterback I put right in that same tier as Ryan Tannehill, frankly. I think Tannehill, I'm going to say this. Actually, it just popped into my mind. That year, so what was it? I want to say 16, where Carr broke his leg. I think it was 16. He was balling. And he got that injury, and he hasn't quite been the same since. I think he and Tannehill are very similar, but I still will put Tannehill slightly above Carr right now, just given how he's playing, looking at this six-game stretch. By the way, check out ESPN.com. I have an article on Ryan Tannehill, quotes from Doug Marrone, quotes from an abundance of people, Mike Tannenbaum, all talking about what Tannehill is doing better now, what he needs to do to get better, and also I give you a look at a couple contracts. So just want to promote that real quick. But end of the day, I think this offense is one that the Titans defense can smother. I definitely feel that way. When you look at some of the things they have going, this is a team that does a really good job on third downs. They're seventh in the league, 45.3%. The sacks allowed, that's an area. I actually asked Mike Vrabel about that on Wednesday. Just what is it that makes them so good about getting, limiting the sacks? And he mentioned how you see very few negative plays from them, so they're not in situations where Derek Carr has to hold the ball too long. So now you don't have to run those longer developing routes to get extra yard. You could just stay on rhythm, stay on schedule, so the ball's coming out quicker. Trent Brown, one of the highest paid offensive linemen in the league, is a right tackle. He did not practice on Wednesday, so that's something to monitor. That obviously changes some things. So, like I said, this is a team I think the Titans will be able to hold to 17 points. I think it's a good situation for that defense, and I understand they're going from not necessarily one side. They're going to the West Coast, let's put it that way. And you have your things about the time zone change. You have your things about the hostile environment. Half of that is having a strong defense. The other half is having a strong running game. And we're going to get into that when we come back from the break. Before we do, definitely want to take this opportunity. The Texans are going to be coming to town next week. Come out and support, folks. This could be for the division. TennesseeTickets.com. Support local businesses. You do not have to pay any extra fees. The price you see on the screen is the price you pay. You also get an invitation to the tailgate. Drink, eat, drink, and be merry, basically. And also, you get to hang out with me for a brief moment. I'll come over and give you some breakdowns and keys to the game, and then we head on in and watch the Texans versus Titans. But you can't do that unless you get the tickets from TennesseeTickets.com. Also, be sure to search us, Talking with TD, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Subscribe, and be sure to rate. We'll be right back with the next segment.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
Yeah. It's Raiders week, so you know I got to get a little NWA in there. Boy, I tell you what, it was kind of difficult to find a cut, an edit that was clean for the show. But, you know, NWA, that is a group that is so frequently associated with the Raiders. There's a 30-30, actually, that you could check out, and that goes through that relationship. ESPN Plus is where you see that. If you don't have that, you need to get it. Okay, so we talked about the defense. Now let's look at the offense. And, boy, I tell you, this is the second week in a row where you can say, you know what? That coach, Arthur Smith, actually put together a nice game plan. And he called a good series of plays. He actually had, I would say, one of his best games. That's what you could say once again. How about that shot that he – Listen, man. You love coach – I have a coach, right? One of my running backs coach, Coach Keith Higdon. He used to always say, hey, look, guys, no nuts, no glory. Man, I tell you what, that's exactly what Arthur Smith showed when he dialed up that play-action pass. Man, first guy I thought of was Calvin when Khalif Raymond caught that. Calvin had the tweet of the week, too, when he said he's shutting down Twitter. He's going to Broadway, and he's going to preach the Khalif Raymond gospel. There aren't too many people who are bigger advocates of Khalif Raymond than Calvin. I remember the first time We were there at camp. He turned to me. He was like, man, at 14, that guy's, he's all right. And I was like, yeah, you're right. So that was an excellent play call, right? I think it was what, 3rd and 6? Something like, yeah, 3rd and 6. And the Titans were up by a touchdown. But Arthur Smith said, you know what? Exotic smash mouth my behind. We are going to play action, and I trust my quarterback to hit a deep shot to my little roadrunner lining up on the outside, and we're going to make it happen. Oh, by the way, they had the audacity to have, well, I guess that's what happens. Kenny Moore was out, so the next man up, and we're going to pick right on that. And that's what they did. That was a great play. I mean, that was a great play call. Mike Vrabel himself, he called it the best play call of the season for Arthur Smith. So, look, man, it's just like a snowball. It just continues to roll and roll and roll. It has to start someplace. Have there been some growing pains with Arthur Smith? No doubt about it. Can he get better? Is he getting better? Certainly. But one of the ways that you have to get better, and one of the ways that they've gotten better, is the red zone, right? We talk about that over and over and over again. Ryan Tannehill, he had the dagger. That was a 44-yarder, but you just look at what Tannehill was able to do, right? This is a team. They are, again, number one in red zone. They got the Raiders this week. Jal Gruden, right? He has the ability to really evaluate quarterbacks. You know, he's the same guy who said Ryan Tannehill. You know, that's how he pronounces his name on the Gruden grinder and still. So I, on the conference call, asked Gruden specifically what it is that makes a quarterback so good in the red zone and why is Ryan Tannehill good in the red zone. Folks, you want to hear this. Check it out.
Well, number one, you got to make some really tight window throws. You got to really have confidence in your accuracy, and you got to let the ball go. But you have to make some tight window throws, and obviously you got to be able to scramble, and you got to have the ability when you scramble to find your receivers and make some off-schedule plays, because down in the red zone, there's just not much grass that these defenses have to defend, and sometimes they rush three, sometimes they rush four, sometimes they rush everybody. So it's a hard area to see exactly what the coverage is. Defenses are different, but his ability to stick it in there in tight windows and make plays scrambling as a runner and passer is really, I think, what makes him one of the better guys in the red zone.
I don't know about you, but every time I hear Gruden talk, like if I'm not watching the video, I picture his facial expression while he's saying it. And I picture him having that bitter beer face look. But he made some good points there. The other thing I asked him about was just, you know, because he, when he was in Oakland, right, and even in Tampa, he got Brad Johnson, and Brad Johnson led them to a Super Bowl, right? Obviously, the defense was a key. But then when he was in Oakland, Rich Gannon came aboard, and Rich Gannon was a journeyman quarterback, and he became an MVP-caliber player. And I asked him a little bit about, you know, just is there something to that hunger, right? Is something to that not getting a chance or having a chance being taken away from you? And he felt that Ryan Tannehill was a guy that – You know, has been through that, and it's has a lot to do with his success that he has now. So I thought that was a good point. One of the other things in that game, though, was, again, we're going back to Arthur Smith. After the Colts opened the second half, right, the third quarter with that drive, the Titans answered. And they needed that answer. They were down by 10 points. It was time to go shoe to shoe and work their way down the field. Derrick Henry is the guy that they rode. Once again, down 10 points, still went to the running game. Derrick Henry in three games, his last three games, 496 yards, 5 touchdowns. This dude is rolling 1,100 yards, just as much as the yards are rolling up, the dollar signs are too. And guess what? Titans are in a situation where I don't know that they could afford to not sign him. But I got to ask Gruden also, I didn't actually. Teresa Walker did from AP. She asked John Gruden about Derrick Henry. Check this out, what Gruden had to say.
I think conditioning is the secret sauce, is what I tell our players. This man will not get tired. He just won't do it. I don't know. I'd like to see the GPS numbers on this guy. I mean, he can run fast for a long time. He can run hard for a long time. And, you know, there's no tag team wrestling. He doesn't have to reach over and get another back to get him out of there. He can go and go and go hard. And that's what I love about him the most. This guy's a great back with incredible stamina. The the more you give it to him, the longer the game goes, the better he plays. Reminds me of Eddie George that way.
Had to get that Eddie George in it. And I say, listen, you know what happened? Henry went to go see the Wizard, right? Eddie George. And you know, he became a different runner after that. He started running with more physicality, more heart. So I want to also just get this last audio in before we look at the Raiders' defense overall. And a guy who has been subject of a lot of criticism is Roger Saffold. I got to talk to him after the game because I felt it was noteworthy to talk to him because they did a good job on the inside, open things up for Derrick Henry. But also, you weren't calling out the offensive line's name too much, right? Whether it be Nate Davis or Roger Saffold. That's exactly how I started my conversation with Roger Saffold. Check this one out.
Interesting when, as an offensive lineman, you don't hear your name. We're not hearing your name as much. What is it that is allowing you to settle into this group?
I think it's just time, you know, experience. I mean, I was thinking that, you know, with practice that it would be easier to gel with these guys just from my experience back on my other team with the Rams, but you know, with this team, I had to get in real, like, battle-like situations and kind of see how guys' strengths and weaknesses are and then try to play off that. And that was big for us today. You could tell when there's games and when there's things flying around kind of what guys are thinking and where we need to go. And then I was able to try to use that to my advantage, being able to play with these guys on a consistent basis. So it's just time and experience with this team.
How about you personally? What do you feel your strength is? Because you talk about everybody's strength and weaknesses.
Yes.
What's your strength in building this offensive line?
My strength is being able to come off the ball aggressive and move people and create run lanes. I do a really good job of making sure that when we have a double team that I'm knocking somebody's shoulder across and I'm getting to the second level with speed and aggression and, you know, just really making sure that I impact that by moving people.
I don't know if you know, last December, Derrick Henry had 500 yards rushing in December. Mm-hmm. They just kind of got into that groove, running the football,
yep.
Complimentary football.
Yeah.
You've seen it over the last three games. What is it as an offensive lineman? How does that help you just kind of continue to set the tone in the game?
I think that it just comes down to when he started getting close to having a 1,000-yard season, which now he has 1,100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was big for us. And now we're just trying to constantly just make him work more and more. We're trying to get him to a Pro Bowl. We're trying to get him to, you know, so that people start respecting him. And then at the same time, it helps out the entire team. It helps us. And I think we're taking a lot more pride when it comes into running the ball. And all the technique is starting to really hit us.
Is there something to being able to fire off and initiate the contact instead of catching it? Is that?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Speed off the ball is everything with this team. And, you know, for us, if we're able to get that first contact and let it be aggressive and knock people off the ball, it's a win for us. I think you see a lot of times today that we were pushing the line of scrimmage, and that's what was giving us a lot of success.
Thank you, man.
That's huge to be able to reset the line of scrimmage and just make it's so you're the aggressor, right? And that's the great thing about the running game, and that's why offensive linemen love it so much. So we look at this week, right, against the Raiders. The Raiders are a team that is 12th in the league as far as rush defense is concerned. They're giving up 103 yards per game. The Titans have actually ascended to 9th in the league, averaging 125 per game. So they're going to look to run the football. I tell you, when you look at just – what the Raiders defense brings, Jonathan Hankins is, man, that's a big man. And they drop him in the middle of that defensive line and they try to get him to occupy space. But at the same time, they have guys, you know, that are really good as far as coming up and being gritty and making plays against the run when you talk about the safeties. LaMarcus Joyner is an outstanding player. He's not the biggest guy, but I tell you, he will put a lick on you. You know, he'll stick you if he gets the opportunity. He's kind of, in my opinion, like a light version of Tyrann Mathieu, frankly. And I know when he was at Florida State, he was an outstanding player. He was really good with the Rams, too. But then you have Eric Harris. He has a great story. I mean, this is a guy who worked in a potato chip factory after playing Division II. He actually, I'm going to shout him out because he came out of the PSAC conference, Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference. I played in that conference. So it's always good to see a fellow PSAC guy come to the league and do well. After selling potato chips, he played the ball in Canada and then made his way to the NFL with the Raiders, and he is a guy that is leading the team in picks. He has three. He's a ball hawk. He's someone that always manages to be around the football and will come up and make plays. So the two safeties are really good. And then they got DJ Swearinger, who still is a guy who could come in the box. But I tell you, it's interesting in watching how they've used him. I've seen him as the single post safety, which is kind of, in my opinion, out of his characteristic. I picture him as more of a box guy. But, hey, you know what? Paul Gunther, he said that's what he wants to do, and that's what he's doing with Swearinger. So either way, this is a team that really is – they're good at stopping the run, right? Now, you could throw the football on them. You could definitely do that. But when you do, you have some guys up front that you have to deal with, right? Cleveland Farrell, he's a guy – hey, listen – very surprised that he was picked as high as he was, but Mike Mayock, John Gruden, they love him. A guy that they love even more is Max Crosby. And let me tell you, he was a guest here on Talking with TD. Max Crosby is a problem. Now, I've seen him dip and come off the edge. I've seen him use strength. I've seen him use an inside move. He is a guy that is very disruptive, great value in the fourth round. The Titans at one point had some interest in him, but I tell you, the Raiders got themselves a player there. As a rookie, he has 7.5 sacks. And he's getting to the point where I see them using him in ways like they use him to draw the attention, and they play games off of that. And one of the guys that they do that with is Deion Jordan. And I tell you, I saw Deion Jordan a few times line up just inside of Max Crosby, you know, as a D tackle, quotation marks around it. More like a four-eye type of look. Crosby's at the five tech, and Crosby would crash in. Deion Jordan would loop around, and they got pressure that way a couple times. So they're able to do some things to get pressure. I mean, this isn't a team that, you know, they're 27th or 22nd in the league with 27 sacks. So make no mistake about it, they aren't the best team in getting pressure or actually getting to the quarterback and bringing them down. They're able to get pressure. But I think this is a week where the Titans can do some things to, you know, get Tannehill. You know what? Let me just go ahead and say it, right? My bold prediction is Tannehill's going to get 300 yards passing this week. That's what I'm saying, you know. But along with those 300 yards passing, I think he's going to have three touchdowns. That's what I'm saying. And when you look at the red zone, there's a team that's dead last in red zone defense, 66.7%. Well, guess what? The Titans are first, just short of 72%. We're at 71.9%. When you look at the Titans' number, that's where they are. I think it's going to be an opportunity for this Titans offense to roll. I mean, that's the bottom line. Mike Vrabel, he talked about, because I asked him how the pack and play style of football that they use, you know, relying on the running game and having a strong defense, how that could help them going into a hostile environment. He said their goal is to take the crowd away early. So that's what I'm expecting to see the Titans to do. We're going to go ahead to a break. We'll be right back. Got Calvin's Corner coming up after this.
This is Corey Davis, and you're talking with TD. My thoughts on, body you can help, listen up and get caught on. Because I cook when I pick up a pen and begin in the end. It's dope. That's because I want to win. Knowledge and the talent that my mother
I just wanted to let it keep going, man.
Yo, man, that's the formula.
That's the formula. DOC, Dr. Dre as well. We're going to keep the L.A. Raiders / Oakland Raiders because they were the L.A. Raiders back then when this came out. We're going to keep that theme going. Got Calvin's Corner. So it's only right that we play a song that's called The Formula because Calvin brings the formulas, the algorithms, the charts, brings it all. Gives me a headache sometimes, but most of the time it makes sense. So let's see what we got going.
Well, I think that's good. That'd be like a perfect little drop. The part that's the formula for this segment. We might have to use that later.
Hey, listen, I'm with it.
Yeah. So there are really only two things that actually concern me about this Tennessee Titans football team right now. The first being, can Ryan Tannehill sustain the level of efficiency he's working at? Because it's insane, and it's literally amongst the best in the league right now.
Yeah.
But the other thing relates to the defense and something, you know, if they were fully healthy, I wouldn't be worried about this at all. But the secondary is pretty banged up right now. And they're a good secondary, and they have been this year. They're about league average in terms of net yards given up per attempt. They've actually given up they're in the top 10 in yards allowed this season. Mm-hmm. But yeah, part of that can be the teams they've played. And actually, as of late, the Titans have been playing from some leads, and that forces teams to have to throw the ball. So that's kind of working in their favor. They've been able to get turnovers this season. They have 11 interceptions, I believe, and they've surrendered 18 passing touchdowns this season. So they've been a pretty solid pass defense. But at this point, you're missing Malcolm Butler. LaShawn Sims was out last week. Adoree Jackson goes down. Teron, first of all, I want to know what you thought of Ty Smith's week in coverage last week, because watching the game, I don't think it was his best performance.
No, it really wasn't. And fortunately for him, he had two plays that were outstanding plays that kind of put some makeup on that pig. You know what I mean?
Yeah, really.
But I will agree, there were some issues, you know, and I think this coaching staff, they noticed that, you know, and Ty Smith is a great dude. He's awesome to talk to.
I love talking to Ty Smith during camp.
Yeah, and he's a long corner. He's a guy that you will look at and say, hey, you know, he'll be really good on the boundary, especially defending the deep ball. But there's more to playing corner than just defending the deep ball. So I think he could have done better, yes.
So just to put the numbers, because I want to kind of give a state of the secondary right now, and then they just went out and signed Brock to kind of add
to
that. And exactly. So Pro Football Reference tracks some advanced stats from everything you can learn about defensive backs and their completion percentage against them and stuff like that. So basically Ty Smith last week, they were 4 for 6 on him. He gave up 8.3 yards per target. I mean, the numbers just weren't very good on Ty Smith. But Logan Ryan this season, as we know, has been good. And he's really surrendering only 6.5 yards per target this season. Now, he's allowing about a 63% completion percentage, but that's better than what he was doing last year. And given the nature of covering the slot, I mean, those are high percentage throws. So it's not like he's giving up some obscene number, like where Michael Thomas is catching 85% of his passes or something like that. And then Adoree Jackson, he's questionable this week, right?
Yeah, he'll probably be quick. He didn't practice on Wednesday, so I would say yes.
Yeah, so Adoree Jackson this year, about 7.3 yards per target. Not quite to the level Logan Ryan was putting out, but you know, he also plays a different position in the secondary, one where he's more susceptible to being attacked deeper down the field, and that's evidenced by the fact that opponents are typically targeting Adoree Jackson about 9.5 yards down the field, which is, I mean, if Ryan Tannehill's averaging 9.5 yards per target, that's pretty deep. So that's kind of why Adoree Jackson would give up a higher yards per target. And then Adoree Jackson this season allowing a 66.7% completion percentage against him. I mean, Adoree Jackson has been up and down this season, but the Titans, we all know they needed somebody else for this secondary because the injuries you've sustained, what we saw from Ty Smith last week probably wasn't that encouraging, and you really just need bodies at this point. So they bring in Tremaine Brock, who is known as a cover corner, right?
Yeah, feisty one at that.
Exactly. And he spent time with the 49ers, Cardinals, correct? Been in the league about 10 years. So far this season, because I think you hear a cornerback he's 31. You hear that and you might get a little nervous because the shelf life on corners can typically be shorter, especially if they're not the biggest name, not the Richard Sherman of the world. Well, Tremaine Brock's numbers this season kind of surprised me.
Yeah, three interceptions, I think.
Yeah, this guy gets let go. Three interceptions. I got it right in front of me. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, three interceptions this season.
A number of pass blocks, too. Pass breakups, rather.
Yep, and he's only allowing 64% of his passes to be completed on him. I mean, numbers we were seeing from Logan Ryan. And then the yards per completion and yards per target, they're about in the same range as what you were getting from Adoree Jackson, and then except they're targeting him at a lower distance. Mm-hmm. So what you're getting in him, you know, he's got to come in here and learn how Dean Pease is going to work, learn how all of this is going to function. But what you're getting in him is somebody that's not like replacement level, some scrap off of the street at all.
He's a player.
Yes, exactly.
He's a player.
And his numbers are on par with what's going on in this secondary that's been good this season. And that's kind of why, you know, we set up the whole thing about, well, they've been had success so far. We see a lot of encouraging numbers from Logan Ryan, some good parts from Adoree Jackson. And Tremaine Brock falls right in there with about what they're doing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Before we get into T. Brock, I want to say this. The completion percentage numbers and the yards allowed, that could be jaded some, right? And I say this all the time, right? It's 3rd and 12, and Logan Ryan gives up an 8-yard completion. the offense goes off the field, I would like to say Logan Ryan did his job.
Yep.
But using these numbers, it's a ding against him.
That's why I wish they had EPA per play on Pro Football Reference.
Like some way to kind of tweak it a little bit better. And even a guy like Logan, you hinted at it. Logan Ryan is always going to have a higher completion percentage against because he's facing slot guys, and you know slots are high percentage.
I mean, if a guy's running a slant, there's a good chance that gets completed because it's just, I mean, being closer to the quarterback means it's more likely to be completed.
Yeah, exactly. But Tremaine Brock, let me tell you about Tremaine Brock. He's the type of player. Like I remember we had a corner. I remember in college. Actually, there were three of them, man. Three of them. One, his name was Tommy Hadley. We had another dude named Carlos Passos. And we had another one named Drew Horn. Now, if you put the three, you stood the three on top of each other, you probably have a good chance of getting to 15 feet. But these guys were smaller, scrappy corners that in practice, I'm telling you, I'm not a guy who likes to fight. But let me tell you something. Because of how they are, like you're running your routes, they're grabbing you, they're smacking your hand, they're doing just different things that just irritate you. And you end up fighting them. That's T. Brock. Best way I could describe T. Brock, now I'm not talking about the coverage skills, right? Because Courtland Finnegan was an outstanding cover corner. But they're very similar as far as agitators.
And every defense needs that. Like, you need there that. That is a valuable role, especially when you're going to be facing the Titans are on a playoff track right now. Someone to get in a receiver's head.
Right. And I'm not saying Tremaine Brock is going to come in here and lock down, you know, Terrell Williams and then go up against DeAndre Hopkins and shut down Mike Thomas. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is he is a guy that could come in and play for you immediately. And I think this was a really good pickup. I was very surprised that he was available, right, in the first place. But then on top of that, I was surprised that he fell, you know, to where the Titans were claiming. I'm not sure exactly where they were, but I know they weren't in the top 10.
Yep.
So this, you had 10 teams pass up on a player like this. Good thing for him. He is 31, but he's not a guy that was ever the biggest. He was never the fastest. He was never the quickest. So what does that mean? He has gotten by on technique. Technique is something that you could always keep, right? So that's not going to be a major issue. I still think that he could be a factor for this team, and he's going to help contribute. I'm not going to forget about Kareem Moore, though. I think Kareem Moore is a player. He had a couple tackles, eight tackles or something like that in the game. That dude, you know, he's a Dory Jackson light. You know, that's like a Dory's little brother. They hang out all the time. You see it in the locker room. And speaking of locker room with a Dory, on Wednesday when we were in the locker room, I kind of watched him just kind of move around. He was moving around, dribbling the basketball, crossing over and doing things. So I'm not sure how bad that foot or ankle or whatever it is injured. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see him on the field throughout the week.
Another fun note on Tremaine Brock I wanted to add in here. We know Logan Ryan can blitz. We know Dean Pease likes to dial it up in different ways. Conveniently, Tremaine Brock has blitzed 16 times this season, knocked down the quarterback twice, pressured the quarterback three times, and hurried the quarterback once.
There you go.
Doesn't that just kind of sound perfect for what they want to do? And now maybe it's not Logan Ryan, but they bring Brock, and Logan Ryan drops back a little bit of versatility.
Some trickery.
The move just kind of seems to, how did the Titans get this guy?
Yeah, I mean, it was a very fortunate opportunity for them. And then as soon as Brock got to the building, he met with the assistant DB coach, Scott Booker, and the DB coach, Kerry Coombs, all morning. And then you saw a transfer to practice. They were getting it during individual period, a little more reps for him and some of the things that they were doing. But I tell you the other thing that was really good to see, and this goes back to why I say Logan Ryan is a guy that you have to make sure comes back. Yeah, that coach on the field. Logan Ryan and Tremaine Brock, they spent during the downtime, Logan was always, he was going up to him, and you could see him just kind of like motioning and showing. You could tell that he's explaining things to him. So that's a good thing to see also.
And another note on Tremaine Brock. He only has a missed tackle percentage of 14% this season per Pro Football Reference. I think cover corners can sometimes get labeled as they don't want to make the tackle.
Not
this season for Tremaine Brock at all. So I think that's got to be encouraging, again, for the Titans, where I think secondary would be my biggest worry right now.
Yeah.
And just because of the nature of the injuries.
And he could be a special teams guy. That's actually – this special teams that the Titans have is really good, and Josh Kalu has high energy. Imagine taking Josh Kalu's energy, multiplying it times 10 within one guy, and then multiplying it by 11 guys. You want to see the hypest special teams unit? It's called the Tony Montana squad. Future. I'm talking about before the 49ers games. Future. They'll play. The one time he was in the this was when it was in Candlestick. They had the dugout. He was standing on top of the dugout, and he performed the song Tony Montana. Let me tell you, I have never seen a special teams unit. I said this to Delaney a couple weeks ago, and I was joking when I was like, bro, you remember the Tony Montana squad? And he was like, yo, that was when we were allowed to turn up. We can't do that anymore, but man. And as they would play that Tony Montana, that whole team would just be grooving. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do you a favor, right? Go ahead and YouTube Tony Montana 49ers, and you'll see what I'm saying. We're going to
No, I don't. That's actually a perfect transition.
Okay, well, we're going to go ahead to a break. Before we do, make sure, talking with TD, search us, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes. My own daughter wasn't subscribing to my podcast. I had to tell her, Deja, thank you for subscribing now, though. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back.
This is Jayon Brown, and you're now talking with TD.
So I'ma hit you like this early in the morning, hopping to the BNZ. I got 44 ways of getting paid, sitting in my lap as I roll up the.
All right, back from the break, final segment, talking with TD. Ooh, always into something. That's what this special teams group is. They're always into something. You have a number of blocked field goals. You had Austin Johnson get one. Obviously, a few weeks ago, Josh Kalu had one. The biggest one this week, though, was by Dane Cruikshank. The scoop and score by Ty Smith. Outstanding job there. I know we only had one breakdown for you, you know, in the first couple segments. So as a token of my appreciation for your patience, we're going to bless you with two in this segment. First off, we're going to look at the guy who actually scored the touchdown. Talked about his story being a great one earlier. Check it out. Ty Smith, the 68-yard scoop and score. Here you go.
So Dane has said that he kind of called this shot. Did you know that that was something that was about to go down?
Yeah. Because we had a certain call to where we knew that the guys were coming off the left side and they're coming hard. And my specific detail on that play was to get ball level, to get ball depth. So if we blocked it, it fell right into my hands and I just ran it.
So it schemed you right into that scoop and score?
Yeah, yes, sir, it did.
How many times, like, do you guys go over, like, is that something you guys practice? Because the scoop was perfect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is that something you guys go through and practice literally scooping it?
Yeah, well, we practice it every day as far as making sure I get ball depth. And that's the biggest thing, because if I'm not ball depth, the ball can bounce on the ground and the kicking team can get it. But if I'm ball depth and Dane blocks it perfectly like he did, it bounced right in my hand.
Now, you picked up the ball, you're running, it's wide open for you. What's going through your mind as you're racing towards the end zone?
Man, this just happened. Gotta get this in the end zone. I felt Kalu push me on my back at first. I had to kick it into another little gear, but I still had a gear left. I knew they weren't gonna catch me, and I knew Dane and Kalu wasn't gonna let them catch me.
Did you notice this at the end? Watch the mascot here. Did you notice this?
No, I didn't. I didn't notice that until after I saw it.
Ain't that crazy?
Yeah.
What's that deal, man? All you could do is laugh at it.
I'm
right?
Glad I wasn't looking that way when that happened, man. Cause I literally saw it after I saw this video.
And I want to just wrap it up on just your story. You know, I actually was at your pro day at Towson. I went there, I'm going to be honest, to watch Ryan Delaire. But I came away impressed with you. I remember submitting my report, and I was like, yo, they got this corner. He's long, ball skills. I think he's going to be in the league. I didn't know that you would be in the league this long, but when you look at your story, what is the biggest part of it? Like, what stands out the most to you?
Just the patience and persistence, and me not losing faith and trusting that I'm here for a purpose, and no matter what somebody says or the circumstances, that I know my purpose, simple greatness, is going to outweigh everything, and I'm going to overcome it in the end. And I'm just going to keep pushing every day and just let the story write itself.
Yeah, good things happen to good people, man. You did good stuff for the community, and now this happens, so keep it up.
That's it. Thank you.
So that was Ty Smith taking it through. Man, it was really funny, you know, at the end of that. I was cutting it up, you know, on the All-22, and I look and I saw the mascot, like, holding his hips and pumping towards the goalpost. I was like, I don't know what that was. I figured maybe Ty Smith would get a kick out of that. But when you talk about special teams, again, you got the field goal block. But Brett Kern, man, he continues to have outstanding outings. This is a guy, he flips the field, like, literally. He is so crucial to this defense, you know, just being able to pin the opposing offense back deep. He has an excellent way of being able to make his punts throttle down inside the 10-yard line. He's one of the best punters in the league. So got to tip your cap to Brett Kern as he continues to just do it week in and week out. And it's an awesome job. You know, Coach Alk, he's really good at the special team side of things, and he has a lot of weapons at his disposal. So that's an outstanding job. But then also they had an addition, right? Ryan Santoso. This guy comes in, he's a unit, man. He's a big guy. It's no wonder he's able to boot the ball into the end zone. The touchbacks over and over again. I think they had two returns. I think it was only two returns by the Colts. So you had a good amount of touchbacks for him. And that also helped set the tone, right? The field positioning, that's a huge part of the complementary football formula. And it just sets up the defense in a good situation. So Ryan Santoso, Brent Kern, those guys should not go unrecognized. Another guy that shouldn't go unrecognized, and you heard me on Monday, I said, hey, look, you guys need to go out and vote for Dane Cruikshank as a special teams player. So we're going to go ahead and get the breakdown from Dane Cruikshank. He's a guy who's come in and really stepped up his game on the special team side of things. Check it out.
What I did here, I cut out a couple of your other rushes.
Okay.
So if you could just take me through those before you got to the actual play itself, the big play. So you're on this side here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there you go.
See, like right there, I felt like I got through, right? So I felt like all game I was getting pressure, but I just needed to vault through a little bit better because my leg just kept getting caught with something.
Yeah.
Like. So then finally, once we get to that last one where I blocked it, I was able to, you know, get some lift up and vault through there and push myself through there to get the block. So.
This is the last one where you blocked it.
Right.
You notice, obviously, you're on the opposite side.
Right. See, like, that time my leg didn't get caught, so I was able to vault through much better.
Now, how much did kind of going, like, timing and snap count, how much did that go into it? Was that a key part of it?
Oh, yeah,
as well?
Definitely. I mean, they kicked a couple field goals that game, or extra points. And I was just trying to get the timing down. I felt like by the probably like their second field goal, I was able to, you know, get a feel for it, a better feel for it.
And then when you look at you as a special teams player, actually, Vrabel spoke today about it. He said about how in Arizona you played kind of like nickel linebacker type.
Right.
How much did that kind of transfer over to your excellence in the league as a special teams player?
I feel like, you know, I was playing more corner when I first got to Arizona. And then once I moved to that nickel position, I was able to play in the box. So it made me more of a smarter player. And then not only that, I had to become more physical. You know, when you play in the box, you got to be more of a physical player. It just brought me that more of that physical nature to my game. So.
Is it kind of like you have to embrace special teams?
You got to want it.
Your mindset?
Yeah, you got to want it. You got to want it more than the man in front of you. Just like any other position on the field, whether it's defense or offense. But to be honest, like you said, it's just really a mindset. Like, you want to go out there and be the best at whatever the coach is asking you to do, you know? And I've just always been a competitor like that. So anytime I touch the field, I'm just going to try to dominate at whatever it is.
Why should these fans go out? Because I said it on the radio on Monday. I said, you guys go out, vote for Dan Cruikshank as a Pro Bowler? Yes, why should they do that?
I just feel like I take advantage of my opportunities, and, you know, week in and week out, I feel like I'm putting out, you know, making plays and trying, you know, just trying to do my job the best I can. And I just feel like I'm probably one of the best special team players in the NFL right now. So that's just me speaking for myself. So I don't know. I let the fans do what they want to do, but hey, vote for me.
Cool. Appreciate it.
So that was Dan Cruikshank taking us through. And I thought it's really good to hear a guy just kind of embrace a role that some players may be less inclined to do so. But he's a guy, he came in and he said, look, man, you know, this is the way I'm going to contribute. And he's made a mark as a special teams ace. Now, Darren Bates has typically been the ace for them on special teams, but we're not sure how that's going to work out. I saw his arm in a sling after the game on Sunday, but on Wednesday, he and Austin Johnson, I saw them battling on the FIFA, on the PlayStation. Make sure you check that article out I put out there, too. Bates is one of the better players. He's a Tottenham Hotspurs fan, but he has a Sun jersey, you know what I mean? And the good thing is he was playing the game and both hands on the controller, so maybe that left arm is not as deep as what a sling could allude to. But either way, special teams, they have to be able to continue to have an impact. It's been rosy, you know. I had a lot of good things to say. But listen, man, you know what we got to do. We got to blow the whistle. Calvin, let me get that music.
Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle.
So you know what time it is. We got to blow the whistle. This week, I think I wouldn't blow the whistle on anything with the Titans or their coaching staff. I'm going to blow the whistle on the officials. There were a few plays where it just, they have to get it together, man, because you see them taking a long time to sort things out. There was one time where they had a call that they were trying to sort out, and they took like 2 or 3 minutes, and they just came back to not even change anything. It's just they got to get that thing straight. So this week I'm blowing the whistle on the officials, man. Y'all got to get it together, man. This game is too beautiful of a game for you guys to be butchering. Please and thank you. Signed, yours truly, TD. That's the show this week. I appreciate you guys tuning in to Talking with TD. Each of you, definitely understand that you mean a lot to me. I appreciate your support. Be sure to check out Tennessee Titans at home, the next matchup, TennesseeTickets.com. Follow me on Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL. Folks, make sure you subscribe to the Titans page on ESPN.com as well. Continue to enjoy this show. Check it out on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Talking with TD. Bonus, you get the Chase and TD show. We just want to bring you good content. Thanks for tuning in. God bless. Good night.